Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
You're listening to CPA Review and more. You're listening to CPA Review and more. You're listening to CPA Review and more. You're listening to CPA Review and more.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're joining from. And thank you for listening to this episode of CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. I'm your producer and director here at the Yeager Studios, Rob Medford. And together, we are bringing you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you're new to the show, I'd like to be the first to thank you for checking us out. We're excited to have you as part of our listenership. If you're here because you've already heard our show and you're a continued listener, we thank you for the ongoing support. It's always greatly appreciated. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to know more about what Yeager CPA Review has to offer, check out our website at YeagerCPAReview.com or call our office and we'll answer any questions you might have. The link and telephone number will be in the description of this episode. Here at Team Yeager, we're excited to tell you about our new Yeager CPA Review subscription format. It's the same great Yeager CPA Review course that you know and love on an all-new month-to-month, no long-term commitment subscription format. But without any further delay, I'm going to pass the microphone on over to your host, Phil Yeager.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a good day wherever you are. We're here in beautiful Maryland, and it is the typical summer day, hot and humid, all right?
And overcast.
And overcast, yes. We never see blue skies, very rarely. And if it does, we say it's climate change. But that's another topic, climate change, all right? Today, our topic is cryptocurrencies, and probably a lot of you have no idea what that is. And we're going to have, we have two people here, Dr. Sean Stein-Smith, who is an assistant professor and, by the way, a CPA at Lehman College in Greater New York City. And also we have, by the way, Sean, you are in New York. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
Okay. Because we scan the globe for people. And we also have Amanda Wilkie, all right, who is with Boomer Consulting. And she is a consultant. Are you a consultant on cryptocurrencies, Amanda?
I consult on technology and process improvement, and that technology piece does include emerging technologies such as blockchain and cryptocurrencies.
All right. And, well, thank you. And also, Dr. Sean Smith is an expert. Can I call you an expert on cryptocurrencies?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
All right. In fact, he's the only one that I know who understands cryptocurrencies, besides Amanda. I'm sorry, Amanda, too. All right. So anyway, Amanda's going to do actually sort of what we would call the co-host. I hate these co-hosts. Yeah, she's my co-host, right? And she's going to basically lead this because I really don't have a lot of expertise on cryptocurrency, except that I was in a place in South Carolina about a year ago, and the owner of the place was where they were cutting my hair. He says to me, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a CPA." He says, "Oh, can I ask you a question?" I always like that when they say, "I want to ask you a question." So he says to me, "Should I invest in stocks or cryptocurrency?" And I said, "Well, I don't know what cryptocurrency is, but it sounds good. So maybe you want to invest in that. So that was my expertise on that. All right. And by the way, never do that in practice. All right. That was just a joke. Okay. All right. Because chances are I would have been sued if I really did say that. So anyway, Amanda, I am going to let you actually take control of this thing that we call CPA review and more. All right. And
you got it right for once.
Yeah, I got it right. I usually don't know the name of our podcast. Anyway, Amanda, all right, I'm going to let you start. And Amanda, first of all, we want to know really, what is cryptocurrencies? I don't think most people know what it is.
Well, that's an excellent question. So I will start off and then I will let I'll let Sean elaborate a little bit more, especially let him put that CPA hat on. But I think we really can't talk about cryptocurrencies without talking about the first cryptocurrency, which of course was Bitcoin. But I think that we've also seen since the inception of Bitcoin, you know, over a decade ago, an evolution from really talking about cryptocurrencies, which are designed to act like a currency. So you would be able to trade that cryptocurrency for goods or services. But that has evolved into a larger umbrella of crypto assets. So cryptocurrencies being one of those crypto assets, but you can also have other crypto assets, which we can call them tokens. They go by many names. So whether you want to call it a cryptocurrency, a token, a coin, any of those things, we now have, again, that umbrella of crypto assets. So you can have a currency. You can have a crypto asset that acts as a utility token, so something that is native to a blockchain-based system, if you will, that you can use to reconcile services, kind of a pay-to-play instrument, if you will. And then we've also seen the evolution of security tokens, so things that do act more like equity in some of these blockchain-based projects. And we're actually seeing a concept of tokenization. You can tokenize anything. So tokenizing a physical asset and actually tracking that on a blockchain-based system. So when you ask the question, you know, what is a cryptocurrency, it gets a lot more complicated because now cryptocurrency is much more of a broad term, which would include multiple types of assets. Sean, what would you add to that definition of cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, sure thing, Amanda. And I'd build on what you were saying, is that really the entire conversation on cryptocurrency, if you had asked us this back in 2017, it would be a relatively straightforward answer, right? Because back then, the only cryptocurrency that actually mattered in terms of accounting and market cap was going to be Bitcoin. But there are currently over 2,100 cryptocurrencies out there being traded. So it's actually grown quite a bit. And to your point, I would sort of emphasize and to highlight the fact that if you're having a conversation with the clients or internally on cryptocurrencies or crypto assets, is the first actual question to ask about is what's the use case for it? Is it being used internally for goods or services from a organization? Is it being traded externally? And if it is being traded externally, is there any market volume or any market value being assigned to this currency, coin, or token? And to just sort of, I think, sort of hammer home on a core point here, as of right now, as of current guidance in the marketplace, the IRS and the SEC and the FASB haven't really come out too much. Now, I know there have been some updates and some attempts to clarify the accounting treatment of these different coins and tokens, but from an accounting point of view, the actual name of it, be it a cryptocurrency, crypto asset, coin, token, or some other name, is not really as important from an accounting point of view as it might seem. because basically the overarching guidance or the input that I would always put forth if asked is to always treat any sort of cryptocurrency as if you were treating a equity security, meaning that the cost basis has to be tracked. There has to be a process by which the market valuation is determined and documented. And then most importantly, from a consumer point of view or from a client advisory point of view, for any of these currencies, coins, tokens, assets, anything in the space, any time that it changes hands or its ownership changes or it's or it moves or it's used to pay for goods or services, there is an income tax event that happens. Even if it's called a currency, it is not treated as such right now. And so really sort of to wrap up my point, it's a broad, fast-moving area. So it's really important to make sure that if you're talking about it or asked about it or trying to give guidance on it, that you actually understand how that coin, token, or currency works and then what it's being used for.
Sean, can I ask you a question? The word blockchain came up. Can you define blockchain, please?
Sure. So the way that, I define it is that at its core, blockchain is a decentralized and a distributed way for network members to store, share, and to transmit information on a continuous basis in a encrypted manner.
All right. And one other thing. I went into the Safeway last week. And checking out, I noticed there was like an ATM machine with Bitcoins.
Yep.
Now, does that mean that a store like Safeway takes Bitcoins instead of dollars, all right, in exchange for, you know, the groceries, whatever?
Mm-hmm. So I can't speak to what Safeway does at that store, but I would say that the number of firms that are taking Bitcoin as a form of payment is on the rise, with an important caveat in there, is that even if firms take payment in Bitcoin, for example, most firms, the overwhelming bulk of them, immediately convert any Bitcoin back into US dollars to avoid any that price volatility associated with it.
Why take Bitcoins versus US currency?
Because you can. And
absolutely.
And to be totally, you know, open with you, most firms that are taking cryptocurrencies are doing so because then if they do take it, we talk about them.
Yeah.
You know?
And I would say some of them are also trying to understand it so that they can advise clients and just kind of be ahead of the technology, if you will, when it becomes mainstream. You know, a few years ago, I spoke to a firm, and just like you said, Sean, when I had read that they take cryptocurrency, they take Bitcoin, and I asked, have you had anyone actually pay you in Bitcoin? And they said, absolutely not. But we have a wallet, so we can say that they can. Mm-hmm. And I've had some of those conversations recently. I've had some firms reach out. I suspect they were all at the same conference, and they heard the same speaker. And so they reached out to me and asked what type of crypto wallet, I would recommend their firm getting.
Oh,
and so, of course, you know, I start thinking about those questions, Sean, of, okay, mm-hmm. Well, what are you going to use it for? And where are these cryptos coming from? And which cryptos do you want to put in said crypto wallet? So I think that we're still kind of in that place where, even though they're not using it for payment and it's not really mainstream, they're mm-hmm. really trying to understand cryptocurrencies and how it will apply to their firm and how it's going to be applied to their clients as well.
I'm just curious, do people who have like Roth IRAs, can they invest in cryptocurrencies as an investment in the portfolio? Do you see that?
Well, I would say yes. I mean, because if you're a investor and you want to put some capital to work in a cryptocurrency, be it Bitcoin, Litecoin, or any of the other cryptocurrencies out there, yes, it's entirely possible to do so. But it's an important note to emphasize that for most retail investors trying to do that, they're going to have to go through a platform like a Coinbase. And so then all of that also raises those exact same questions that Amanda just had brought up too. What kind of wallet do you want to use? Is it a hot wallet? Is it a cold wallet? And do you actually understand how those tools work? Because even though it's a investing option and on the surface, it's going to look a lot like a E-Trade account, it actually operates quite differently on the back end. And the implications for that are quite important to realize. The top one being that the vast majority of these assets, be they coins, tokens, assets, all the rest, are not covered by any kind of FDIC or by investor insurance coverage. So any capital put to work in that space, if the value, you know, drops to zero, or the platform is hacked, or you aren't able to access your key or your password or your method to get into your holdings, you're out of luck.
And when you invest in cryptocurrency, who do you go to buy the cryptocurrency? I mean, like, for example, if I want shares of stock or invest in mutual funds, I would go to my broker, all right? Who actually would handle the acquisition of cryptocurrency? I was saying CRISPO. Anyway, that large.
Hey, right. Maybe we could create a new cryptocurrency.
There we go. Boom. So, we got it, Amanda.
Crypto coin.
Crisco coins. Good.
Sort
of slippery type investment. All right. But no, if I want to invest in cryptocurrency, all right, who do I go to? Is my stockbroker licensed to trade in that?
It would depend, right, on the individual. But for most retail investors, especially those who are trying to dip their toes into it at first, I'd say that in the U.S., the most obvious choice is to use Coinbase. And Coinbase is a registered, you know, investment firm. They had just recently, at the end of 2018, were granted a custodial license in NYC. And so most investors that are trying to sort of try it out and so see how it works are going to start there.
The market value of these cryptocurrencies, all right, how are they determined? How often do they change? How does that work? I don't know if that's...
What direction is the wind blowing right now?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's very encouraging as an investment.
So Phil, to look at it, so something that stood out to me a while back, there's a rap artist, 50 Cent. He actually sold one album in 2014 for 700 Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. At the time, it was valued at $463,000. Years later, after he forgot about it, he goes back. It's now valued at $7 million mm-hmm. off of one album sale.
In U.S. currency or Bitcoin?
It's now, current U.S. dollar is $7 million okay. as of when the article was written in 2018. When he sold it, the U.S. dollar for 700 Bitcoin was $463,000. So it really fluctuates, but it's a matter of risk.
So it's really not for the conservative investor. Am I correct? I mean, you have to be more of a risky type person who's willing to take risks. Is that the way you would invest? Or if you have someone who thinks of certificates of deposit as investments for their, retirement fund, all right, they probably wouldn't go into this investments in cryptocurrencies. Am I correct?
I would say that most of the people that I've talked to have treated cryptocurrencies as a new tool to add some risk into their overall approach, and their holdings really, and in terms of their total assets that they're investing, don't exceed 5% of their assets that are currently in the marketplace. So yeah, I mean, I would not recommend this off the bat for everyone to put 100% of their assets into Bitcoin. But it's all up to the individual and their risk appetite and their, you know, knowledge of the markets and how much risk they want to build into their investing approach.
So, Sean, you're not saying that you have recently liquidated all of your retirement savings to invest in cryptocurrencies, huh?
Well, no. No, I haven't done that yet, Amanda.
yeah, I would say it's definitely too early for that. But you know, when I speak on the topic, and many times I've done that while in Las Vegas, and I often say you can take money out to the crap tables. But you can also take that money and invest it in a cryptocurrency. And again, start to understand how these things work. There is a lot more that goes into the valuation than most people understand or think. You know, not only is it timing, but it is interest in the projects and into the networks. It's the activity on the networks. So things like Bitcoin and Ethereum they're highly impacted by, again, kind of the developer interest, the projects that are being built on those platforms, and just a whole slew of other things. So it definitely doesn't react to the market like other traditional investment platforms.
Can I assume Vegas, they do not take Bitcoins when you're gambling?
I have not seen Bitcoin slot machines, but we may be coming up with a list of just million-dollar ideas back to back here. This is a great session.
Yeah, if you could tell me, I'd like to invest in those. Before, I'm just kidding. All right, but anyway, Sean, when you go out and you speak about this topic, what else do you discuss with people? Obviously, you discuss more than what we just mentioned. What do you discuss in a typical speech, if you want to call it that, that you give on cryptocurrency?
Sure. So actually, it's a excellent question, because I just finished one, actually. And sort of the core points that I always try to highlight is how blockchain works, right? Because if you want to invest in Bitcoin or other types of coins, tokens, or crypto assets, you have to understand what the blockchain is that it runs on. Every blockchain is different, and it operates differently, and that has a implication on how the coins, tokens, and other assets work. So it's always important to understand how that blockchain works, and also how crypto and how blockchain are different and are better and or worse than other current options out there, both from a management point of view and from a investing option point of view too. And then three, the core point that I try to really emphasize here is, great, how is it going to impact business, be it in accounting, be it in finance, be it in other industries now and going forward? And then as a part B to that last point, what are some of the emerging issues that are beginning to crop up as this whole ecosystem pivots away from the public blockchain Bitcoin focus to honestly more of a enterprise focus and tokens and actual companies like Walmart, JP Morgan, Cargill, FedEx, UPS, IBM, Goldman Sachs trying to operationalize blockchain to bring it in-house from a enterprise angle. So it's impossible to cover every area in every speech, but those are the core points that I always try to highlight in any presentation or in any speech that I give on this topic.
Yeah, I am. To add to that, I agree with Sean. I've always
good. Whew, sounds cool there.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. You. You know, not surprisingly, we see the opportunity in this space very similarly, and we approach it very similarly. You know, I have been a strong proponent of understanding the technology, because I have a technology background opposed to an accounting background. So the technology of blockchain is what originally got me super excited, and then Bitcoin and crypto was just a piece of that. So I've spent the last few years, like Sean, trying to help people understand the technology, because I do believe that if you understand the technology, you trust the technology more, and it helps with the understanding. these days, I'm excited to kind of move away from some of the blockchain 101 discussions and talk more about how the technology has evolved. And to your point, Sean, how, you know, some of the challenges that face enterprise adoption, you know, how those challenges and the technology has evolved to overcome some of those challenges. And I think now we have some really great examples. Like you mentioned, many of those companies, the IBMs and the Walmarts of the world, we have some great examples and some use cases of how they're actually using the technology. So now when I talk to firms, I do believe it's still important to understand the technology and how it works, but even more so understand how it's being used at the enterprise level, because that's where your clients are being impacted, and they're being impacted now.
Can you talk about that? You know, I know it's probably a lengthy subject, but can you talk about the technology and how it is being used, like with IBM? And you know, in a few minutes, is that possible? I don't expect you to discuss everything in depth.
Hey, everyone. Really hope you're enjoying this episode of CPA Review and More. And let's face it, if you're anything like us, you probably listen to your fair share of podcasts. And that's exactly why here at Jaeger CPA Review, we've teamed up with Podcoin to bring you a great way of getting paid just for listening to the podcasts you already enjoy. So I know it sounds a little crazy, and I assure you, it's not. Here's how it works. You listen to podcasts such as CPA Review and More, and then you earn Podcoin while you listen. You can turn that Podcoin into gift cards at places like Amazon, Starbucks, or Dunkin' Donuts. Or if you're anything like us here at Team Jaeger, you can donate to a charity right through the Podcoin app. The more you listen, the more you earn. So what are you waiting for? Go to your app store and your iPhone or Android and download the Podcoin app now. Use promo code Jaeger when you sign up, and we'll even give you 300 Podcoin as a thank you just for signing up. In return, Podcoin will give us a little bit of information about the listeners of our podcast who use the Podcoin app, how long they're listening, and which episodes are the most popular. That's it. Check out Podcoin today.
Can you talk about that? You know, I know it's probably a lengthy subject, but can you talk about the technology and how it is being used, like with IBM? And then, you know, in a few minutes, is that possible? I don't expect you to discuss everything in depth.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite examples is how IBM and Walmart paired up and started a proof of concept. They actually started back in 2016 in China to help track pork in that country. And the goal was to increase food safety by being able to understand the supply chain much better. So being able to identify the products, where the products ended up. So if there is any question about food safety, they would be able to identify more specifically what needed to be recalled. And now we have seen that proof of concept actually evolve into the IBM Food Trust program, where Walmart and other organizations are able to track produce and other goods using blockchain technology to, again, increase food safety by using the technology in their supply chain.
So, what does the technology Jay use exactly? They're using this blockchain. What is the technology? I mean, they're using it to obviously determine what you just mentioned, but explain to me, what is the technology to actually protect the food, you know, whatever?
So it's more of a tracking. It's more not necessarily you know, in the processing of the food, but in tracking, so in record keeping. And they're using, I believe it's the Hyperledger technology. Mm-hmm. So that's the blockchain that they are using, or the platform, if you will, that they are using. And so everyone who participates in this program now has a higher level of transparency into how the products are moving along the supply chain. What would you add to that, Sean?
Sure. And I'll just piggyback off of that, and that really a vast majority of the corporate or the enterprise level applications to date don't have anything to do with Bitcoin or other coins or tokens, and that really the traceability and the transparency in supply chains, be it food, be it iron ore, be it cobalt, be it other items like that, is really one of the most fast-growing adoption points in this space. But to focus in specifically on how it's being operationalized, the best way to explain it or to highlight it that I've seen done is that basically what these firms are doing are they're basically laying a blockchain mesh on top of their current IT systems, right? Because all of these firms, be it Walmart, Volkswagen, Toyota, all have high-powered RFID systems, satellite tracking anyway. And so now what they're trying to do is to leverage that existing hardware, existing tools that are already on the ground, and then link it to, one, a Internet of Things model, basically enabling the tracking of this information. So each time that a tree is planted, it's a touch point. Each time that food is harvested, touch point. Put on the truck, touch point. Ship, touch point. Shelf, touch point. All of those touch points are then harnessed and then posted up onto the blockchain. So the actual blockchain itself is a component of this conversation, but it adds that real-time updated transmission of that information, both internally to the firm and externally to its partner firms, suppliers, and all the rest.
Yeah. Sharon, you make two really great points there. Well, you've made a lot of great points through this conversation. But two, I want to build off of. You know, one, you mentioned that they are using it really in their existing frameworks already. And I think that's a great point because the end user of the solutions or the applications, if you will, it doesn't look any different to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What they actually see and what they interact with is just the same. The back end is what has changed. And of course, I forgot that second point that I wanted to highlight, but I think we could probably talk all day about how enterprises are actually using this technology to change the way that they, you know, that they're doing business. Oh, it came back to me.
There we go.
You mentioned the Internet of Things, and mm-hmm. I think that's another great point for folks to understand is that blockchain is not the only technology that is playing a part in this. You know, you want to call it transformation, you want to call it disruption, call it whatever buzzword you really want to call it, but the technology is evolving, and our world is evolving, not just because of blockchain, but because of the way that blockchain interacts with other technologies, such as the Internet of Things, that we already have, you know, in our current systems.
Can I, as someone obviously who's not dealt in in cryptocurrency, blockchain, let me see if I understand this. All right. It seems like blockchain, all right, has, first of all, some tracing capabilities, right? And also, is cryptocurrency another form? So it could be currency or it could be used as tracing. Do both of those categories come under blockchain?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Both of those, yes, absolutely.
All right, because I just thought, you know, actually it's just the currency we were going to talk about. And I didn't realize that there's equipment for tracing too. But I have a question. Here it is. I just find that, you know, we have to change things as the years go by to make things more, to make it complicated. Now, for me to go into, for example, Nordstrom's, all right, and I'm not trying to impress anybody, but, you know, to go into any... to go into a store and buy a suit, okay? All right. Isn't it just easier to hand them a credit card or check or cash instead of saying, hey, I'll give you cryptocurrency, all right? Why would I even want to deal with cryptocurrency? If we can just go back to the credit cards, what's the advantage of that in a transaction? And it does apply to personal transactions other than business. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. So all right. Probably the easiest way to answer that is that you don't have to use it. right? It's entirely optional. But from a personal information point of view, right, if you have your personal data breached, like on a credit card, I'm sure most of the folks tuning in have had at a certain point or are aware of somebody who's had their credit card data stolen, swiped at a restaurant, gas station, whatever. And so all of that, I mean, it's able to be recovered, but it's a whole process to go through that. The underlying ethos of the Bitcoin blockchain, which don't forget was the first one, the whole point of that, it was to cut out the payment processors, the PayPals, Amexes, Capital Ones, banks out of those transactions, and to basically empower the individual to have full custody and control over their information and their personal commerce. But as far as on a everyday basis, there is one development that I've heard some about over the last 12 to 18 months. There are firms out there right now that are trying to build basically the equivalent of a Bitcoin debit card, meaning that I could pre-fund basically credit card with Bitcoin, and then I could use that in a store or online to make purchases with, basically trying to solve all of those problems and sort of complications that you brought up, basically trying to make it easier for folks to use it for individual transactions. But arguably the biggest headwind right now that is stopping individuals and firms from using Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies as currency is the treatment of them from a tax point of view, in the fact that every time it's used to buy goods or be paid in cryptocurrency, I owe income taxes on that transaction. So if I was to echo your example, I go to Brooks Brothers.
to try to come back and do something better than I did. So it's saying,
of course. Right.
Brooks
of course.
Brothers, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Brooks Brothers, and so I go in there and I buy a suit. So if I pay for it in US dollars, cash, or on a credit card, I don't owe taxes on that purchase. But the exact same purchase, the exact same store, if I pay for it in Bitcoin or other cryptocurrency, I owe income taxes on the difference between my basis in those currencies and the current market value of those coins at the time that I used it to then purchase that suit. So it has that whole extra layer that's really a powerful headwind right now.
Big currency, is it coming denominations like dollars? How does that work if I go in to Brooks Brothers?
Right? There we go.
And I buy that suit for $1,200. All right. How do I pay them in Bit currency? Can you?
Sure. So what the vast majority of merchants have done is they've partnered with a payment processing firm. The biggest one that I've heard most about is called BitPay. And so basically it just adds that option, right? Cash, credit, or Bitcoin via BitPay. And so as far as the payment process goes, if you're offering that same suit for sale, costs $1,200, you would then automatically convert that price in dollars to the current market price of Bitcoin. So it would come out to be like 0.2 Bitcoins right now. And so then I would pay that much in Bitcoin for that dollar equivalent at that time.
I understand. That's interesting. Yes, go ahead. Amanda, you were going to say something? You're thinking?
Yeah, I was just going to add to that, I mean, it sounds pretty complicated at this point, which is a big deterrent to adoption at the consumer level like that. But I think those things will change. Again, all of this is really evolving. And I think some of the things that may help that evolution will be additional guidance from the IRS. And Sean, you and I recently had this conversation. You know, the IRS has said that they plan to provide additional guidance soon. They just didn't quite define what soon meant or exactly what we can expect to see in that guidance.
And by the way, Sean, you must make a tremendous salary, an assistant professor at Lehman. When you brought up Brooks Brothers, I'm just curious.
Don't tell them that.
Oh, okay. Okay. That was really not related to the topic. But
he made all his money in investing in cryptocurrencies.
So that's your total investment portfolio. Is that what you're saying, cryptocurrencies?
He's printing his own money off of crypto.
Yeah.
He's making the Crisco coin.
Crisco coin, yes. Maybe we
I already
can
filed the
that.
Trademark. I already filed the trademark for that guy.
While we were on great. That is. But no, I mean, how many people are really experts in this area? I mean, would you say? I mean, if I'm going to invest in cryptocurrency, I'm certainly not just going to go and find, an investment and just say, all right, I'll pick this cryptocurrency. I mean, you really do need an expert to guide you along this investment process. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And really, I'd even say even more than other options out there, because the area is so fast moving and there is such ambiguity still out there from the SEC, IRS, and from even just a basic accounting point of view, that if you are considering this, you really have to do your homework, both on the currency choice itself and also on the advisor and the advisory firm that you are going to seek out.
Amanda, any last words you'd like to share with us?
I think the last thing I would share is, I think that education is still very critical. This technology, these concepts, crypto assets are all changing very, very quickly. So I would encourage your listeners to do what they can to educate themselves and stay up to date on these changes and this evolution. And I think one of the best ways to do it, definitely one of my strategies, is to follow Sean on social media. So if you're
too kind, Amanda.
One is at Brooks Brothers, if I may say, kind.
Yeah. So I think following him on social media, I post a lot as well. So I think if you're looking for two sources to give you information that is vetted and reliable, but also applicable to the accounting profession, we are two great folks to follow on social media.
Do they have courses in this anyplace? Do they offer, by the way, as a CPA, can I get continuing education in courses on this?
Absolutely. The AICPA launched last summer and I forget if it's a 14 or 16-hour course on blockchain fundamentals. And on top of that, just to sort of build on those comments from Amanda, the AICPA is currently rolling out two other courses focusing on blockchain for financial services and blockchain for financial advisors. And to just toot my own horn here for a minute, I'm actually writing both of those courses. So on top of individuals like Amanda and me on social media, it's also important to follow different trade groups, the AICPA, the Wall Street Blockchain Alliance, Accounting Blockchain Coalition. There are any number of groups and firms out there that are putting out some high quality information and guidance on a continuous basis.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being on this podcast. Amanda Wilkie, thank you so much. And Dr. Sean Stein-Smith, who's, by the way, I found out a very snappy dresser. if you have any questions, you can actually meet him. I think he's on Fifth Avenue. Isn't that what Brooks Brothers is?
Yes.
Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, okay? And by the way, any questions, fam, he'll cover the transportation. To Brooks Brothers. All right. By the way, do you have websites? I mean, can people go to a website to find out what you two are doing? Or
yeah, you can always find me at boomer.com. So you can reach me there. And you can also find out more information about where I will be speaking there as well.
And Sean, what about you?
The best ways to find me are on Twitter, @SeanSteinSmith, on LinkedIn, at Sean Steinsmith. I post and I share all of the trainings and courses and other information that, that I'm posting out there on those two platforms, almost on a hourly basis.
Well, okay. Well, that's nice to hear. And I think people, I think, are just starting to be introduced to cryptocurrency. And I'm sure it'll become, you know, more of a common thing, obviously, as the years go by, months, years. So anyway, but thank you. I mean, I learned something from this, and I'm going to be going out in about a half hour to start investing in that cryptocurrency, that Crisco we discussed. And then also, without, you know, I'm going to go to actually Brooks Brothers right after I invest in that cryptocurrency. And they, by the way, they do have clothes for women. Am I correct, Sean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Yes, okay. I do. Yes, I do. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, I like Sean. He's a fellow New Yorker. I heard a few of those New York terms, like harder. Yeah. But anyway, and by the way, New Yorkers are the only ones who speak English correctly. I just want to share that with
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The rest of you guys all have accents. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway,
I resemble that remark.
Anyway, I want to wish to thank you so much, the two of you, and have a great summer, all right? And hopefully we can talk to you again at another time.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank Mr. Sean Steinsmith and Amanda Wilkie for joining us on this week's episode.
Once again, I'd like to thank you for being the best part of CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to hear on the show, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show to share your story, we want to hear from you. Send me an email to the studio at podcast@YeagerCPAReview.com. If you're enjoying the content that we're providing, we'd greatly appreciate it if you'd submit a review to the Apple iTunes podcast app to let us know how we're doing. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to find out more about the CPA exam and what Yeager has to offer, check out YeagerCPAReview.com or call our office and we'll answer any questions you may have. The link and the phone number will be in the description of this podcast. Here at Team Yeager, we're excited to tell you about our new Yeager CPA Review subscription format. It's the same great Yeager CPA Review course that you know and love on an all-new month-to-month, no-commitment subscription format. Check it out today. Once again, my name's Rob Medford. I'm your executive producer and director here at the Yeager Studios. And until next time, take care and be audit you can be.